For all your fantasy football needs, check out the Ringer Fantasy Football Show with me, Danny Kelly, along with Danny Heifetz and Craig Horlbeck. That's the Ringer Fantasy Football Show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Die Kamera habe ich bei eBay gefunden. Refurbished. Liegt so gut in der Hand. Der Sensor, Wahnsinn. Und das Objektiv wie neu. Und Schatz, weißt du, wie viel ich gespart habe?
Machst du jetzt ein Foto oder nicht? Finden, was passt. Zu dir und zu deinem Budget. Das muss eBay sein. eBay. Things people love.
So klingt Weihnachten bei Rewe. Jetzt festlich sparen bei deinem Weihnachtseinkauf. Diese Woche bei Rewe, Ferrero Rocher, je 200 Gramm Packung, nur 2,79 Euro. Außerdem Mionetto Prosecco Spumante Doc, je 0,75 Liter Flasche, nur 5,99 Euro. Festlich sparen bei Rewe. Dein Markt.
We're brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, where you can find the Rewatchables. We put up a new one on Monday night. We did The Equalizer with my dad. Sal, would you do a podcast with your dad or no?
I wouldn't.
Your laughter says no.
I wouldn't do lunch with my dad in 1988. No, that's great. I'm looking forward to hearing.
He was very excited about it. He kept asking like what the feedback was, telling me about the feedback he was getting from people.
Oh, really?
The Ringer Podcast Network also has Against All Odds with Cousin Sal. You're back.
Yeah, we are back.
You're coming back doing a bunch of stuff. We doing the Sunday nights. It'll be. Mm-hmm. Since 2007, so I don't know how many, I can't do math.
That's 17 years?
37 years.
38 years, yeah.
You're Against All Odds, the Jenner Trifecta, everybody's coming back, and then you're doing a bunch of stuff for FanDuel TV too. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's weird because you said TV was dead in like 2009.
And
now
it's back.
I was like, all right, I'll believe it. That's what he's saying. But now here we are, FanDuel TV. I'm doing something with Tate Monday night, right?
Yeah.
After the Monday night game, post Tuesday.
Yeah, it'll run early Tuesday morning on FanDuel.
I shouldn't say post, because when it's on TV,
well, it'll run on FanDuel. Yeah, run it as a podcast doing Through the Ringer.
Yeah. And then Thursday night, and you could watch it all throughout the weekend, is Cousin Sal's winning weekend. We're going to guess. I'm going to give you picks that'll most likely lose.
How many titles did we sift through before we landed on Cousin Sal's winning weekend?
I don't even know that we landed on it. I just threw it out there. Yeah. I think we still have a ways to go.
I asked you for a couple ideas for a title and you sent me an email that had like 47 names.
I know. I had a lot. And you didn't respond. I'm like, oh my God, I have to come up with another 47 names.
Yeah.
But you did like one of them. And then the Sunday pregame show.
Right.
It's going to be very
exciting. We're doing a Sunday pregame show on FanDuel TV. Mm-hmm. You with the East Coast Bias guys. We're doing it live. It's going to be 11 to 12 ET. On FanDuel TV, plus all their platforms. We're going to keep going until at least 12:30. It's going to be the Ringer Twitter, Ringer YouTube, FanDuel YouTube, wherever we can put it, it's going to be on there. This is the show we've been talking about for how many years?
Yes.
Like a million?
Again, 37. Yeah, I'm not good with years, but yeah, it's a lot. I need to find out. I love it. You know, we have our own text chain now. I know those guys are comfortable with each other by themselves, and now they're graciously letting me jump aboard. I need to find out more about Raheem. Because he is
the character of the year.
A miracle. He really is.
I told you when you were going to come back and do more stuff with us, I was like, there's a gift that's looming that you don't fully understand yet. And it is Raheem Palmer.
Maybe we talk about it off air, but how does he get all his, he fires heavy.
Fires heavy.
God bless him.
He'll just tell you, like, I've been living in Vegas for the last month. And you're like, wait, what? You have? How are you doing this? So, I'm excited for you to get to know him.
Thank you.
I'm excited for all this stuff. And then we're going to do a mega Against All Odds show, too, on Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
That is just going to be everything. Plus, as basketball playoffs are coming, basketball season, baseball playoffs.
Yeah.
Whole bunch of stuff. So,
I told Harry to sober up and calm down on the gummies. And so, if he stops now, maybe by baseball playoffs, he'll be like
he'll start wearing off.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up, the annual Over Under Pod, the AFC Part 1 is next.
First. Let's do it.
Pro Jip. All right, I'm here with Cousin Sal. We are about to do America's favorite podcast gimmick. That's not Guess the Lines. This is the annual Over Under podcast, which we have been doing really ever since you started coming on my podcast, and then we blew it out, and then we started doing one for each conference. We're doing the AFC right now. Vegas and the casinos and our friends at FanDuel, they put out Over Under win totals. God for every NFL them. Team for the season.
Imagine if they didn't, how lost we would be.
Well, they put him out in April, May. Yeah. That sets a whole chain of texts, and we have these thoughts. They're not even, the draft and free agency isn't even done yet. Mm-hmm. Then we start looking, you start looking more. The podcasts start coming out, the analytics. Warren Sharp puts out his thing about best and worst rest advantages, mm-hmm. schedule strength, have a couple injuries. And you just change your mind a million times. What is the team that you felt the strongest about in the AFC from start to finish since these over-unders came out? Do you have one?
I do, but it's stupid. I mean, am I blowing it right now to say the Cleveland Browns? I mean, I get...
Oh, interesting.
Do I get canceled for saying that I like them this year? go over their win total?
But, that would suck if you got canceled. We just started this yeah, TV show.
It's longer than I thought it would take. But yeah, that's my team. I love them. I mean, I imagine we're going to go east and then north and then southwest.
So we'll start east and we'll go through. Yep. My team is also from the AFC North, and we'll get to that when we go. We're going to start with the AFC East. And if you remember last year, I did a whole Buffalo thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, basically, are we sure? Everyone's like, this is it. This is the team. Mm-hmm. Super Bowl contender, pencil them in, high over under. And then they went 13-3. Mm-hmm. One game got canceled.
Yep.
So you could say I was wrong because I was like, I just don't see it. I don't see what everybody else is seeing. And then the playoffs, they crap the bed.
Right.
And now I feel even more strongly that it's a little smoke and mirrors. And
really,
I'm
just
not a huge fan.
You want to be even more wrong than you were last year.
I'm either going to be more wrong or even more right. I don't even know what's going to happen. But their over-under is 10.5. Mm-hmm. They're plus 120 for the division. And I don't understand. Why do they get a free pass, the Bills? I'm just going to read this to you. 2019, round one. Mm-hmm. They blow a 16-0 lead to Houston, losing the playoffs. 2020, they almost lose to washed up Phil Rivers. And then they beat Lamar Jackson and Huntley, that game where they had quarterback injuries. Then they get smoked by KC. 2021, kill the Pats. They have the 13 seconds loss to KC. Last year, barely beat Skylar Thompson.
Mm.
They win by 3.
He was very good.
And they get killed by Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And we do this thing with football that we do not do in basketball where we just kind of move forward and we forget things that happened like 6-7 months ago. They got manhandled by Cincinnati. What is different about the Bills this year?
So here's what I think. I don't think we forget. I think everybody's playing off. I think it's recency bias off their last game or the Skylar Thompson game or whatever. I don't think people are looking at some. This is a regular season thing we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Over under wins. So I think the Bills get screwed. There's some bias talking about the Bills over under because we're looking at the playoffs and we think, well, Josh Allen isn't up there with Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow. So I like them to go under. Like, no, that doesn't make sense. The Cowboys, very good regular season team in the right. And,
what?
You know, yeah, they are. They are.
Hey, the Cowboys?
Make a list of the teams that have won 12 games in each of the last 2 years.
Can I make a list of quarterbacks I don't believe in?
Make a list. Go ahead. Chiefs, Cowboys. Stop. Stop with your list because you're going to be wrong about
everything.
At least
everything. You made a list, finally.
But I'm saying there's bias. Like, people love the Lions because they beat the Packers in week 18, that terrible Packers team. And they're like, oh, my God, look at these Lions. Like, all right, they didn't make the playoffs. But
also, they had the same record as the Steelers down the stretch.
Right.
And only the Lions mattered for some reason.
So I think, like you say, you know, they won 13, so they're going to regress to 11. That's still over. And that's why I have them over. And you could go over their playoff stuff, but they've hit their win total over 5 of the last 6 years. You know, I'd like Ken Dorsey in his second year as OC. That seems to be when it clicks with a quarterback. And Josh Allen was bad.
You just threw a second year at his OC as one of your reasons?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
That was like one of your top reasons.
Go back to all of them. But anyway, look, it can't get a lot worse than 19 turnovers for Josh Allen. And they still won 13 games.
And he was
games.
Hurt. I get it.
And he
still
won
13
games.
Half of the year.
And they lost to the Vikings, that really, really stupid game, one of the dumbest in history. So I'm going over with the Bills here. I have them at 11 exactly.
I think their schedule is really hard.
Yeah.
They play Rodgers twice, Tua twice, assuming he plays, Mahomes, Herbert, Burrow, Lawrence, Hurts, and Dak. Pretty rough. I did my player rankings thing again that I know you hate. Did I mail it to you this year?
You did.
I spent even more time on it this year. I added coaches. I went nuts.
You have a weird thing where you assign the point value to everybody as it compares to Kelly Trepuka from 1978.
That's true.
It was really in-depth.
That's what I do. Yeah. Quarterbacks are ranked the highest, so they do well because Allen is an 8-pointer out of 10. Mahomes is a 10. Allen is an 8. Rest of the team, like if you're talking, you know, either semi-elite or elite guys, Diggs, Ed Oliver, he's like the 19th best defensive lineman. Milano's good. White, Hyde, Poyer, McDermott's an above average coach. I don't think there's as much talent here as people seem to think, especially in the Lions. I think they're okay. So the only answer I would accept for the 11-win Bills season is it's Josh Allen and he's just going to go 11-6 every year. If you're telling me that, I don't really have an argument. If you're just like, put this guy, he's basically the Mitchell Gobert Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to win 50 games. You're not going to go that far in the playoffs, but he's going to get you to 50-32. NFL version, that's 10-7, 11-6. I'm going under though, Sal.
All right.
I mean, I think it's a 10-7, 9-8 type of thing.
This is what, and they start with a healthy Tre'Davious White and Jordan Poyer. That's big, I think. Von Miller's out the first few games. That's also big the other way. Their rush rate is like 36% when he's there and 20% when he's not. But
and he's old.
He's old, but I just think this is one of those teams that has a first place schedule every year and still gets through it. Double digit wins. In this case, they need 11. And also look at, you know, you could go to crazy analytics, but they're only 4-2 in the division last year, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like they were 6-0. So you say, oh, the division's much better. Are they going to be 2-4? Is that where they're going to lose their two games?
Well, aren't we going to know that Monday night they're at the Jets? And that's one of those. If it's 0-1.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, like, what happens with the team? Let's go to the Jets.
All right.
Their over-under is 9.5. They have gotten the most kind of hype.
Oh, yeah.
Slash irrational love that I think I've ever seen in my life, considering Rodgers wasn't good last year and is going to be 40 years old and they're the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the subject of an entire Curb Your Enthusiasm episode about a guy who killed himself and might have done it because of the Jets.
They're all over HBO. Curb episode. You're right. They're Hard Knocks, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
All over the place.
Sopranos the other day, they ran the theme. Yeah.
I guess my number one question is it more fun if the Jets are really good or incredibly disappointing? Like, you have no dog in this race. What's more fun? Actual Jets juggernaut and their fans getting all into it? Or they just fucking suck right out of the gate? Again, I'm going to get bleeped on that.
Interesting. Wait, what words get bleeped?
The F-bomb that I just said. Yeah.
Really?
Right. The F is for FanDuel on FanDuel TV.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, look right down the barrel and maybe say
sorry,
that.
Guys.
There you go. Okay. I think the best result for people who don't have a dog in the race is for the Packers to be good and the Jets to be bad. And I think FanDuel has actually a parlay that coincides.
And I kind of believe that could happen.
Yeah.
Because I like the Packers. We'll get to that in the NFC one. But yeah, I think that is funny if, and then the stuff starts coming out from the Green Bay side around week 3, week 4.
Right.
We're a real team this year.
Right.
It's not
locker room's different.
It's not one guy over here and 44 guys over here. It's 45 guys swimming the same way.
Mm-hmm. We all go to Culver's after the game.
Yeah.
That said, I do think the Jets are going to be, I think they were good in spite of what happened last year, you know? And so Aaron Rodgers, everyone's like, well, what if he's not the MVP Aaron Rodgers from 2 years ago? Like, and I'm like, well, what if he's not the terrible, whatever we saw, that disaster of a mess? I don't know what Deshaun Kaiser imitation he was putting on last year.
Kaiser Sose?
Kaiser Sose. So right in the middle. What if he's in the middle? What if he's Kirk Cousins? Can this team win 10 games? That's where I have them. I do think they're.
What if he's Dak Prescott? What if he's right in the middle and he's Dak Prescott?
Then he'll win 12 games like he did last year and the year before.
We're going to know right away because my fear with them and the reason, I have two reasons that I'm not a believer. One is that I don't think they can block.
Mm.
And there's been a lot of Mekhi Becton hype.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, he started the last game and Rodgers has taken him under his wing. And the guy's been one of the most disappointing first round picks.
Right.
In general. And then Dwayne Brown on the other side, I don't know if I trust him either. So I really worry about their O-line. And Rodgers, when he doesn't get protection, there's a slew of stats with that. And then Robert Saleh.
Not Robert Saleh?
We've had 2 years with him.
Mm-hmm.
Did he ever jump off the TV? We're like, man, this guy, it's looking good. This guy's running a tight ship. Man, good game management from Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
I never felt that way once. I always felt like I didn't understand what he was doing. Whatever he did with Zach Wilson was insane last year.
Mm.
And I just, you know, if it's 40-year-old QB and a coach I don't trust and an offensive line I don't trust in a really tough division with a hard schedule, I think I'm out.
That schedule's rough. That first six, if they go 2-4 and the
New York give it?
Media. Yeah, go ahead.
It's the first seven.
It's the worst.
Buffalo really. At Dallas, New England, KC, at Denver, Philly, at the Giants. Then they got the Chargers in week 9 on Monday
really
night.
That's really rough.
That could be like 2-6.
Yeah. So then that's going to be tough to hurdle, right? So I honestly think like 3-3 out of those first six. But I get what you're saying with Salah. I thought it was interesting. Did you see the Hard Knocks that started with him listing his four stages of competitor? Like, he only gets everybody in this room.
It's like a TED Talk.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers has to pretend he's interesting. He's like, commander, competitor, survivor. And there was some other thing in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what. Pearl Jam might have been three. I'm not sure what it was. But anyway, so those were the four. I was like, this poor bastard has to come up. And all because of Vince Lombardi, who said winning isn't the only anything. See, now I can remember. Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. Yes. And now all these idiot coaches have to come up with something to top that. And they're not even close. So, yes, I think it's he's lacking. Nathaniel Hackett seems to be a bit of a joke. You see him.
I mean, he was the worst head coach of the last 10 years. Yeah. And then the thing now is like, well, he's gets along great with Rodgers. Yeah. And, you know, as an offensive coordinator, he's great. And we made fun of this guy for 4 months last year. Right. And then he got fired during the season, which never happens.
Private eye. Nate Hackett.
Loves Austin Powers.
Yeah. So I'm going over, but really need to be 3-3 after those first six.
I would. The schedule is so hard. Their defense would have to be like incredible. And I'm not ruling it out. Mm-hmm. I think this division's really hard. Last year, we did really well on these. Yeah. I went 24-7-1 on the over-unders. I think you went like 20-11-1. I felt like I was like locked in.
All right. So I might not be right already?
On the Jets. No, because I have my, well, we disagree on both because I have over for Miami and I don't feel great about that either. Miami is 9.5. They're plus 290 for the division, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think they win the division. And the rub is, well, Tua could get hurt. He had three concussions last year.
Yeah.
I was watching a lot of judo Tua roles and how he studied jujitsu and judo, like how to roll.
Judo.
judo. He studied Matt Judon to know how not to roll. But he did all this stuff to try to do preventative.
Yeah.
The guy didn't know how to fall, basically, if somebody was falling on him. Now, the counter would be, well, if somebody's 350 pounds of falling on you, there's really
or judo throwing can't you really from help behind.
You. Yeah,
right?
That like, can help you either.
That's kind of where it kind of happens,
but
right?
But I'm somehow back in on judo Tua and the Dolphins because I like their schedule a little bit more, even though, like, they play at Kansas City, but it's in London.
Right.
Right? They have, like, a couple lucky things like that. They're at Philly, which is brutal. They're at Baltimore. But for the most part, it's not awful. But
they end versus Dallas at Baltimore and Buffalo. That's tough. So you got to get your 8-9 wins before that stretch.
Right. I don't think they're going to go like 11-6, anything like that. But I think 10-7 is reasonable. And that might win the division.
Interesting. I have them way under. And I know it's a
way under.
Point of contention with on that text chain with JJ.
On the wise guys text chain.
Yeah, so he got very upset. You know, he's a big Dolphins fan. I have them at 7-10 because I think Tua is going to be treated differently. They rewrote rules for him, right? Anything that's close to, like, if he gets thrown on his shoulders, like, well, did that get, were you thrown on your head there? He's like, no. Well, you're going to have to come out anyway. Like, anything that's a concussion that you'd sit 1 or 2 games, he's going to have to sit 4 or 5 games.
Yeah.
You're going to have him panicking on the sideline, like pissed off. Like, why am I out? Those kinds of things. It's not even going to be his fault, I think, but the rules are such that it's going to be, plus he announced that he was thinking of retiring in the beginning of the offseason.
That, like, concerned
that
me. I did factor
bit?
That in. Yeah, listen, I think the Jets or the Dolphins win, and it's a coin toss to me, and I went with the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those two.
If Nephew Kyle said, I'm thinking of abandoning audio altogether. In fact, I might not
he
even
speak.
He said
that like 2 days
he
ago.
He did?
Yeah, that's bad.
Okay, example. So you stayed with him. All right.
He goes back to upstate New York every once in a while, and I don't know what happens.
Really?
He just goes to bars with his friends from high school, and we don't know if he's ever coming back. It's not untrue, Kyle.
He's not.
I'm going to open a bar in Poughkeepsie. That's my dream.
So there you go.
You
so
can
this
do
is
that
what I'm dealing
him.
With.
We could get him.
Bad example. Defense for them. Wilkins, Phillips, Baker, Howard, Ramsey when he comes back, and Holland. They're loaded. I think they're as loaded as the Jets.
I guess. I feel
I like their
just,
coach better, too. I like McDaniel. I thought he was good last year.
I don't know what to make of that guy. I do want to like him, and I guess the team likes him, which doesn't really matter. But yeah, Ramsey out till December.
Yeah.
That hurts a little. Lose Byron Jones, Gesicki. Not too bad. They didn't have a first-round pick. But, you know, their defense was not great. They forced 14 turnovers. It's hardest to gauge a defense, right? Because I think like the three best defenses last year, 21, went 7th, 10th, and 14th in 22. So really, like an offense,
some
you can be like, all right,
related.
It's going to be very similar. Yeah. But the defense is tough to
Well, they did bring in Fangio, which everybody was excited about.
Yeah.
And he has a lot to work with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I for some reason...
I'm going way under.
There's like a Miami vibe. Like Miami's probably going to stumble into Dame Lillard soon.
Oh, look at that.
Made the finals last
year. How long, guys, before the basketball reference?
I'm sorry.
Dame Lillard.
Myself. All right, last AFC's team, New England. I'm just going over the 7.5. 7.5 is insulting.
Well, their defense, is the roster.
Their defense is going to be really good. Their special teams is going to be really good. I actually like their receivers. I thought Ramondre was excellent last year, and it seems like they rebuilt Mac. They went 8-9 last year. They finally have an offensive coordinator. The offensive line is the question. They had the same question the Jets have with a better coach.
Yeah.
Rodgers versus Mac, who knows? Rodgers is going to be 40 years old. But if they don't go 8-9, I'm going to be shocked. I have them at 10-7. I think they make the playoffs. You know I'm not a homer.
No,
I went under
not.
Last year and I was adamant they were going to sign.
I know. I have them
I think
under.
The defense is going to be really good.
I was hoping they signed Hopkins just so you could be like, I think this team's going to win 11.
No, I didn't want Hopkins.
No, I know. I wanted,
we
but
don't want that
I like you to be excited for your team. It's good for the podcast. Is that what this
because,
is?
Because I get sad by week 4.
Yes, exactly. So then it's funny when they go 5-12. But they're 25-25 since Brady left. If I would have told you that, how many years ago? 3-4 years ago. Would you have taken that? You would have said, yeah, we've had.
I mean,
our
that
Super
seems
Bowls.
Reasonable, right? You lose the best football player of all time,
right?
And you go 500 after he leaves. That actually seems like a bonus.
So I think you're going to have a lot of knuckleball games, like 17-14 type games, right? You just have to be on the right side of that coin flip because no matter what, he's had the last 11 years, Belichick's had a top 10 defense. So you're going to be there. You mentioned Judon's numbers, 15.5.
We're loaded
sacks.
On defense. Now.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately. We might have the best secondary.
You're going to shut teams down. And probably Bill O'Brien for Patricia was maybe the best swap in the AFC East, not even in terms of coaches, just like any pickup. So
We had like a mole as the offensive coordinator. He was like trying to destroy us from within.
Right. That's
what our offense was last year.
It worked.
It was
Sometimes
the most frustrating football experience of my life. Yeah. Look, they go home Philly, home Miami, first two, at the Jets, at Dallas. And we're going to know after 4 games.
All right.
If they're 0-4 or 1-3 after those first 4, it's probably not happening. But if they can get through that 2-2.
It's just tough to check anything off as a win with Mac Jones. I'm sorry. Right?
Mac Jones, the guy who San Francisco wanted to trade up for, and then Shanahan got bullied and then taking Trey Lance.
They did everything right. Yeah.
Their player rankings, they have a lot of like good players.
Mm-hmm.
No real great ones except for Judon, but they nailed the draft, I think, is the big case for them.
Yeah.
That they were good last year. All three of the top picks are going to play. They drafted a kicker and a punter. The punter is incredible. We had the worst punter in the league last year.
Yeah.
And I like for people on FanDuel TV, I'm using we like I'm on the team.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Our punter is like, it's like 5 seconds in the air. It's up there forever. The camera has to, they have to like kind of tilt it up to find out where the ball is. He's going to hit the scoreboard in Dallas. It's a lock.
Well, that's your punter. When you point to him, like that's my punter.
It's my punter, baby. Behringer. I think they go 10-7.
Right.
I don't feel great about the prediction. And I think this division is the hardest of the 8.
Really?
Yeah,
wow,
I really do.
We went all 4 different.
Yeah, I know. 4. That's why I'm not surprised. All right, let's take a break. We'll do the North. Football season is about to kick off. FanDuel is giving you the chance to win all season long. Right now, when you bet on a Super Bowl winner, you can get bonus bets every time they win in the regular season. Just pick any team to win the Super Bowl, and you get bonus bets for every victory. Cousin Sal, what would you do with this? Any team? So you just do Kansas City for this?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to go to the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay.
And they're going to beat my Cowboys in hilarious fashion as they have the last 2 years to get there.
So you're like San Francisco 10-1 to win the Super Bowl and you get every bet along the way. That's really good. I'm going to do the Steelers 45-1 and hope that they go, why are you laughing? How dare you laugh at my Super Bowl bet?
Give people a chance to win.
Well, they're going to win because they're going to go 11-6. They'll be winning along the way and then they're going to win when they win the Super Bowl. I will have the last laugh. You can use your bonus bets on spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. Visit FanDuel.com/BS. Start entering bonus bets with America's number one sportsbook. That's FanDuel.com/BS. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit TheRinger.com/RG. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus $50 unless specified otherwise. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. All right, my favorite division, the AFC North. So I looked up highest total wins by a division the last 4 years. 2019 NFC West 38, 2020 AFC North 38, 2021 NFC West 40. Who had last year the most wins? What do you think? It was 43. There was an extra game. What was the division with the most wins last year?
Kyle, which division are we previewing right now? Oh, is it the AFC North?
No, it was the NFC East.
Oh, no. I fell into your trap. So
43
stupid.
Wins for the NFC East. So oh, yeah. I like everybody in the AFC North, and I was like, no, they're not going to have 40 wins combined. I went and looked it up. I was like, well, the NFC East had 43.
Right.
Why can't we get there? So the only team I'm going under with is Cincinnati at 11.5.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
It's too high. I don't like the Burrow, really no preseason at all.
I feel like
they
got to
figure out their secondary stuff. Yeah,
too,
we don't
right?
know how injured he is. Yeah. And they're at Cleveland in week one, a team that we both like.
Mm.
I think they're going to get there. I have them either 10-7, 11-6, like right under the over-under. And I have them in the playoffs, but I do not have them. I was kind of shocked by the 11.5 over, right?
Yeah. Well,
isn't that way too high?
Three quarterbacks should be very good in this division, right? And so, you know, and then what are they doing outside of that? They have the AFC South and the NFC West, which, by the way, you read off the numbers for the NFC West. How crazy is it that that's one of the worst? It's top heavy with two good teams, but I mean, that was like
and
one of
the
best divisions
two worst
in
teams.
Sports.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh man, those top two are going to go 4-0 against those bottom two.
So you get AFC South, NFC West, that's six, maybe seven easy games.
Yeah. And plus Minnesota, Buffalo, and at Kansas City. So those are tough. But again, they've played first place schedules before too. They're a weird team. The more you look into it, like their offense was like 18th in big plays. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I envisioned Chase down the sideline and Higgins and all these guys, but they were like efficient, but not necessarily explosive. And I think they're gonna battle with some of these teams and they're gonna get to 11 wins, but I don't see it getting to 12.
Me neither. There was a physicality to them that as the season went along, I was higher on them. I had a lot of futures with them last year, and they started out rocky enough that I was worried, but you could kind of see it come along. And the game when Hamlin went down, that was a game where it looked like they were making a statement against Buffalo, and then the game ends, which it should have. But
right.
It felt like, you know, even the KC game, they were right there.
Mm-hmm.
That game came down to a couple plays, but I, you know, KC was better by a fingernail, right? I didn't feel like they were like much better.
Everybody liked the Chiefs getting one, giving one. What was it? What a fixed line that was. But yeah, they lose Bates, the safety. You know, they draft a defensive end from Clemson. They're going to be okay. You know, defensively, they'll be okay, even though like sacks was their strength their Super Bowl year. I think they only had 30 last year. So the identity is going to be something to work on.
Great defensive coordinator. Yeah. Lots of good players on both sides. I have them with 11 or 10 elite plus the coach, I think, is at least above average.
Mm-hmm.
So Burrow's health would be the question. The secondary and a really tough division. I'm going to ask you this, though.
Yeah, I think like Mixon like has slowed down too, right? I think he was like 29th in broken tackles and stuff like that. So he's got to do a little more Burrow, which is interesting. And obviously that offensive line has to hold up, which we know is suspect from year to year for this team.
Every year in the first month, we have the, what's wrong with that team? Last year was the Rams.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the Bengals, but they're on the list.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's them, but I'm not positive it's not them.
Well, let's try to remember not to go too crazy because they were 0-2 last year and they fought back to a really good record.
Baltimore is another slight under for me.
Mm-hmm.
The over-under is 10.5, which I just think is too high. It's plus 104
that changed
to go over, which tells you that there's action on the under. I just have questions. I have questions on the defense. Humphrey's already hurt.
Yeah.
I wasn't sold on the defense to begin with. They're bringing all these different weapons in. They're relying on Zay Flowers, who, you know, is young. I always get nervous relying on young receivers. Lamar's health, not sure about that.
Yeah.
Lamar just got this huge contract. Never totally know with that what happens to somebody. And really tough division. They're loaded on the offensive line. They still have Andrews. But this division, I have them kind of fourth for talent.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
I don't think so. It's a very different team, right? I think it was like a mass exodus defensively. They lost JPP, Peters, Chuck Lowe. Some of these guys are like a little older, but they were good, like
Calais
clubhouse
Campbell.
Guys. So yeah, Calais Campbell, obviously, Justin Houston, all of them. And so that's one thing. The other thing, And by the way, did we talk too much about Lamar Jackson? He got paid. It was fine. For months, we were like, well, are they going to do right by him?
Right.
Like, he got paid and he's up there with the best. So now he has to play football. And I don't know. This is another thing where Harbaugh's a great regular season coach, right? He'll usually get you to double digit wins, but I like it slightly under because I think the division has gotten better. And my surprise to win the division, I can't have four teams at 9 wins in this division. So
no, I get it. The thing when I said about how he got paid, he got the contract.
Yeah.
That brings a whole different level of pressure. Like sure. a year ago, it becomes, they got to take care of Lamar. He's so, you know, it's all positive.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has 2 bad games. It's like, my God, we're paying Lamar all this money. What's happening? And it's just different. And we've seen, like, he definitely hears stuff.
Yeah.
Right? He's definitely attuned to what people are saying one way or the other.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, he's in the bathroom, right? He couldn't get out of the bathroom that way. The one thing I want to say is, and like a lot of the experts will laugh at this, but how much is Justin Tucker worth to a win total? A half a game?
Like, you know, I had him in my rankings, I had him as a 2-point guy.
Yeah.
And he was the only like special teams person because it's like he has to be worth 2 wins.
Yeah. So if they're an 8-8 team, he gets them the 9th win or, you know, 9-7 when he gets them the 10th win. That's the only thing I worry about with them.
Their schedule is a little goofy where they're at Cincinnati week 2, at Cleveland, at Pittsburgh week 4-5, and then they go to London and play Tennessee in week 6.
Mm.
And they kind of have to get through those first 6 being like 3-3 if they're going to get double figures. It gets a little easier after that, but
Stroud and Richardson, 2 of the first 3. Yeah.
The defense is, I think, my biggest question mark of anything in the AFC North. All right. Make your case for the Browns. Over under 9.5. Plus 400 to win the division. Do you have money on this?
I do. I have too much. I don't know why. I don't know if it's you know, because we know new people who work with the Browns, and maybe this is my little dig, but I have them at 11 wins. I think, you know, Deshaun, I'm throwing it out. Like most people are saying, well, you know, we had a good sample out of Watson and he wasn't good. I was like, no, I don't think he could be thrown back in there like that and expect to pay dividends. And, you know, Elijah Moore's added, Goodwin, Cedric Tillman, this rookie out of Tennessee. You got Chubb focused, not splitting carries now with Kareem Hunt.
My guy,
no longer.
Chubb.
Yeah. They pick up Thornhill, the safety from Kansas City. Bookend Miles Garrett was a Darius Smith. I think this defense is going to be amongst the best in the division. So I have them. Stefanski's good enough, and now they have Jim Schwartz, like I said.
Stefanski's good enough?
I think so.
What does that mean?
Well, he won his most important game.
He has 2 arms and 2 legs and a head, and he can hold a clipboard?
Listen, he was at home resting with COVID when his team won that playoff game. That's what you wanted to catch. Just get out of the way. Let them do what they can.
Their first 5, 4 at home against Cincy, Tennessee, Baltimore, San Fran, and then at Pittsburgh week 2 Monday night.
Yeah.
And then they got at Indy week 7. And I don't think Indy's going to be very good, but they have some stinkers on their schedule. At Indy, home Arizona. They have an at Denver, if you think Denver's not going to be that good. Mm-hmm. At the Rams, Jacksonville at home, Chicago at home, at Houston. So there's some wins they can kind of grab and then just try to split everything else. I have them at least 10-7.
Nice.
And you could talk me in 11-6, but I have them as a playoff team. They're also kind of loaded. And everybody's talking about their pass rush. They have, I think, a top 4 offensive line.
Yeah.
Chubb.
You said pass rush better. Correctly.
Pash.
You got to work on that.
Pash rush.
Yeah, I don't like when you say it right.
So it's the thing with them, I think they're that one of the high ceiling, low floor teams, mm-hmm. right? Because if Watson's actually like good, I'm not even saying 4 years ago good, but if he's just good and makes some plays and does some stuff,
right.
I think they're no question they're a playoff team.
Sure.
If he's a C+, they might still be a playoff team. If he's last year's Watson, then I would change my mind.
You say low ceiling, and I know you said the NFC East had the most wins last year, but if FanDuel were to make a prop about which, I want to know how to say it.
Like
which,
total wins in NFC East versus
which division is least likely to have a last place team with 6 wins or a lot? Like
I would say right? AFC North.
Yeah, this is the one, right?
Because NFC East, it's probably Washington.
Right. Yeah. By the way, I want to ask you, when you did your win totals, did they add up to...
I didn't do that.
Then you're not a serious person.
Didn't want to do
I can't
that.
Take you seriously.
I think that's psychotic.
Look at
that.
Really? It's psychotic?
You added everything up?
How do you know if your numbers add up?
Okay. This year, I'm a little under on my wins.
You
I'm probably
can't
like
be
4 or 5 wins. But I'd rather do that than like try to force some pick I don't believe in. Maybe, you know.
All right. Someone explain math to Simmons here. It's got to add up. It's got to be like 252 and 252. If you want to take time to do that, to make it right, I'll wait here.
As you, it can be whatever I want it to be.
As you get them to add up.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Over 8.5. I mentioned earlier the team that I've liked all year, all offseason. This is my team.
This is one you like.
I'm in on Pittsburgh.
Really?
I'm in on Pickett. I thought their preseason, which you can kind of discount. The only things we can really learn from a preseason are, does the quarterback you're a little worried about, did he look awesome? Or in the Carolina case, does this team look like an actual possible disaster, which is what they looked like?
Right.
Pickens, that Jalen Warren and is probably going to take Najee Harris's job at some point. They fixed the offensive line. It's at least decent now. They have Watt back for the whole year. 7-2 they finished last year. A lot of that was without Watt. Tomlin never has had a losing season, as you've heard that stat many times. I like the talent, and I don't think their schedule's that hard. So, week one, they have San Francisco.
Yep.
And we're going to do Guess the Lines on Sunday's pod.
Oh, I didn't tell you. I have something else going on, but yeah.
All right, I'm going to do Guess the Lines with somebody.
Raheem will fill in. Yeah.
It'll be either +3 or +2.5 for that Pittsburgh game. I think Pittsburgh's going to beat San Francisco and could potentially become the overreaction team. And I like San Francisco. Wow. I just think Pittsburgh's going to show up for that game, lay the smack down, and we're off. I believe in the Steelers, Sal.
I thought about that just in general. Like, this is the podcast we could yell and scream about how many teams are there? 32 teams. And probably by 2 p.m. Eastern time on the first Sunday, we're going to be wrong about 12 of them.
Right.
Like, holy crap. 49ers are down 21-3.
The Bills are amazing. Yeah. What was I thinking?
What happened?
Josh Allen's the best player of the league.
So let's enjoy this moment. But this is a tough one. But let me, like, Steelers fans are outraged that it's 8.5 when Tomlin never goes under 8.5. But let me just say this. First of all, the end of the season, the Steelers, like, kind of, I don't know what, they get lucky and they play backup quarterbacks the end of the year. And they always end up getting to 9, even though they have 6 in December, 6 wins. They're not going to be able to do that this year. They end with Cincinnati, at Seattle, and at Baltimore. That's as tough as it gets. So they better have 8. Going into that stretch.
Yeah, at Seattle's not that bad.
Oh, no. It's going to be that time of year. People, they go, Watt was out. That's the be-all, end-all. They were the least injured team in 2022.
That's Mike Tomlin. He knows how to keep his players fresh.
But now...
Did you see his sparring quote?
What did he say?
Before the preseason? Or about the preseason?
No.
He said you can't know how to box if you don't do some sparring.
Really?
That's why he plays his starters in the preseason a little bit. Yeah, he's a man, Mike Tomlin.
I didn't know
he's a man's man.
Let me write that. That's not on my notes that he's a man.
Put that down.
All right, I'll
put
write
that down
that.
With your 252. Yeah, 252.
I don't know. They faced Burrow, Lamar, and Watson. Those are probably the best three quarterbacks in the division the Steelers have faced, right? In a long time.
Well, we don't know about Watson.
I do.
I guess we'll see.
I shouldn't have said anything.
I'm all in. I am in on a bunch of Steelers bets. The division +470. The playoffs +128. And I'll tell you this. Number one seed, 20-1. Sprinkling a little on that too.
What is wrong with you? What happened to you? You were in the heat too much.
12 plus wins, +360. Intriguing. Not going
to
do it.
This year, 12? Or it has to be over the course of 2 years?
They have to win 12 or more.
Wow.
Yeah. I think, so the case for them to be the number one seed is just the case that this division will produce the number one seed and that it won't be Kansas City, because Kansas City, nobody seems to understand who their receivers are other than Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Not to mention hard schedule. Maybe Mahomes gets dinged for 3 games and then all of a sudden division's up for grab. We've had weird number one seeds. I think this is going to be one of the best teams
Tennessee
in the conference.
Tennessee was one couple of years ago.
Well, so the 20-1
so what do you
is
have them, 12 wins and you have...
I have them 11-6.
And Cleveland also 11? And
I have
Cincinnati
Cleveland
10-10?
And 7, and I have Cincinnati 10-7. I have 3 10-win teams in this division.
Your shit definitely doesn't add up. I don't know.
What do you mean? Sorry. Last year we had Dallas and Philly in double figures, and we had the Giants at 9-7-1.
Yeah.
So that's a prototype.
All right. Okay.
I can do some math.
I don't know.
So you're out on the Steelers. We're going to know after week one.
There's some good ones. There's first of all, a lot of it, when you say like the ceiling and the upside is like the same, like the Ravens, you can go 9 wins exactly on FanDuel for +650. I think that's like pretty good. You'll be right there, I think.
Right, you can hedge
week
it
17.
In the last game.
You could bet, well, you won't like this, but Bengals AFC Championship game, to make the AFC Championship game is +250. You'll probably
those
love
those odds aren't good enough.
Pickett 5 or more rushing touchdowns at +370.
Have you followed some of the Pickett stuff? Like he made... He might have it.
You love this preseason stuff.
It's no, but he nonsense. Was good at the end of last year. I was impressed by him. He got concussed during the season too, which people forgot.
He's one of the worst passers out. What do you mean? He had the league worst 12 passing touchdowns.
Listen,
last year they had he had 7.
It kills me.
I know this.
To praise Pittsburgh and be aligned with them and those awful Steelers fans.
Okay.
So I just don't think I want to be with those people.
All right, you don't have to.
But I have a lot of money in the Steelers. I'm in on the Steelers.
Kyle learned how to edit over the summer. You can take that part out.
Kyle's in Poughkeepsie. He's mentally opening the bar already. We're going to take a break. All right, the AFC South, which is the bane of our existence for a long, long time. I think it's going to be worse than ever this year. If I gave you 26 wins total for this division, would you go over or under?
I'd go under. I think everyone's 3-14. I didn't add that up. I don't know how it works out. No, it's funny. FanDuel has the first place, second place, third place, fourth place. I probably can make 9 of those and I wouldn't be able to get it.
Last year, the division won 23 games.
Wow.
Yeah.
And 6 ties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. Jacksonville's the first one. Jacksonville getting a lot of buzz. They're -200 for the playoffs. Their over-under is 9.5. They are -155 to win the division, which is insane. Defense just not that good. You really have to believe in Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really have to believe in him. I know you like Ridley. You're protecting him in our fantasy
for
league
$5.
For $5.
I like him.
Well, yeah. You like him.
Yeah.
They get, you've got a certain kinship with him.
Yeah, I got to stick by him.
Raheem's on this. Raheem hates the 2-week London trip they're doing in week 4, week 5, and he's psyched me out with this.
Really?
They're playing Atlanta and then playing Buffalo in London.
Yeah.
And they're just there forever.
I kind of think the second game is their advantage there because they're there, they take it in.
Because then the other team comes in.
Yeah, then it doesn't become a road game.
But their schedule, the AFC South, you know, they play the AFC North within the NFC South. Mm-hmm. So that's at least a positive. But, and they have some of the harder games at home, like San Francisco, Kansas City's at home.
At Buffalo, that KC, San Francisco, and at Buffalo is a first place schedule. So that's rough.
I have them at 8-9. I don't think they get to 9 wins, much less 10.
Me
I just
too.
Don't see it.
I'm under two. I think this team is way overvalued. I think they have a place, you know, think about what they did last year. And God forbid anyone say anything bad about this coach. You'll get lambasted in a parade somewhere.
Yeah.
But I can't get there with him. I can't. I think, you know, anyone replacing Urban Meyer is going to look like a god, right? They scored 10 more points a game last year than they did with Urban. But, you know, let's not forget, they had a cupcake schedule down the stretch. They beat that Cowboys in a crazy overtime game. And then week 18.
That was one of the stupidest wins of the year. And then they topped it in week 18.
They shouldn't have even counted. That week 18, they're losing the game to Josh Dobbs, who is somehow a starter in the NFL this year. And then it's like a defensive touchdown, right?
Yeah.
And then the first playoff game.
Is the one
Chargers,
of the dumb playoff losses
just
of
awful.
All time.
Like Staley should have been fired at halftime. And
that's another
that.
One. Like we talked about earlier about people kind of forgetting what happened 6-7 months ago. We're just supposed to forget that Chargers disaster.
And let's not forget, Patrick Mahomes like had half a leg and beat them. It was like almost an impossible game to lose. And they did lose that one. So I'm not there with the Jaguars. And
I'm
like
not there
I said,
with the Chargers either. I'll
first,
tell you that
oh,
much.
No, I know. First place schedule, I think, queers a deal for me. I'm going under.
Yeah, they have some really... I have them with 11 hard games that are at least like real games that you mark down on the schedule out of 17. I also like Tennessee more. Tennessee over under 7.5. Division plus 310, which I've already bet. Playoffs plus 198, which I would... If you're going to do that, just bet the division. 10 plus wins is plus 280, which I thought was enticing, but I still think the division's a better bet. I think I'm in on this Titans team. 8-3 last year, and then 40 guys get injured, right? And it's just, they're just a mash unit. Brought some guys back, pretty good draft. This Spears, the backup running back, just looks like he might be actually pretty special.
Mm-hmm.
And I just believe in Vrabel. I think to me, he's like Tomlin. It's if he has a decent to good team, he's going to be around 9-10 wins. They have an easy schedule, and I'm in.
I'm with you. Totally with you. I'm going over 9 or 10 wins somewhere in there. People hate this pick, but you're right. They had 34 players on IR last year, 22 to end the season. Derrick Henry's yards per carry actually went up from 2021. This, I think, is a last hurrah kind of deal for him. They signed Hopkins, still a serviceable, you know, third down threat, you know, big playmaker. I don't know who their quarterback is going to be. That worries me a little bit, right? If you could tell me who, do you think it's Tannehill from start
to
finish?
It's definitely Tannehill. All and right. Also, like,
that's what I'm banking on.
I really liked Burks last year. I had him in fantasy and he got concussed and he just kind of, it was right as he was coming on as a real guy. So you have him and Hopkins together. I think they actually are going to be able to make some plays. And I think Spears is going to be incredible for them.
Vrabel's good, like you said, for a win or win and a half himself. The defense is weird. Worst pass defense, best run defense. So I think they added in the in free agency, you know, they re-signed Simmons. I think they're going to be okay.
They have a really fun end of the season starting week 10 where they're at Tampa, who's going to stink.
Mm-hmm.
At Jacksonville, which, you know, they've had good success against them. Home Carolina, home Indianapolis, week 12, week 13. At Miami, home Houston, home Seattle. Right. At Houston, and then home Jacksonville in week 18. Like, they might go like 7-1 down the
really
stretch
good.
If they can
could
stay
opposite
healthy.
Opposite of last year. They're plus 11 rest advantage, too.
I like that team. Indianapolis, I do not like as much. Over under 6.5. I went under. I really like the Richardson experiment. But there's just no way he's going to be a successful quarterback this year. And they'll do it. They have a great... I almost talked myself into it. I really did. I look at Shane Steichen and the way the Eagles fans and our Philly guys talked about him, like just how revolutionary he was with some of their stuff. And I was like, maybe he could use Richardson as this amazing toy and he could be like 2013 Cam Newton, kind of not totally know what he's doing, but such a great athlete. He just hasn't played enough football. I don't think it's like a Trey Lance thing where it's like that, or Trubisky, where it's like this guy just hasn't played enough football. It's never happening.
Yeah.
It might be there, but I think this is going to be really rocky. There's going to be passes flying all over the place. I don't like their skill guys anyway. I don't really think they have a lot of talent. I had in their rankings, I had them with 7 points total. Mm-hmm. So like San Francisco is a 39. And I just don't see it. I'm going undersell.
I can't. I'm way under. I think they're going to be one of the worst. I think this team's an absolute mess. I can't even get to the part where I analyze Anthony Richardson because I think this is the cursed franchise with the idiot owner.
Right.
Daniel Snyder had a text that was like Hulk Hogan.
Oh, he tagged out?
Like, come on, tag it. Rocky Johnson like crawling to the corner and finally tags him and here comes
he came
Ursay.
In and did one of these.
Yeah, and he totally botches this whole thing with Jonathan Taylor. And forget about last year. You remember what he said with Jeff Saturday was hired? He said, you want to bet against this guy, put your money down. I love to see it, people. It's like
did
he hired
anyone,
a TV
did anyone put
guy.
It down?
No, nobody put any money down. But we did see it. I mean, TV, he tried to get, what did he try to get? Joy Behar and she wasn't available. Like, this guy is such a wreck. He's the new Daniel Snyder. This team, unfortunately, I think is cursed and I'm going way under.
So you think he has the belt from Snyder now?
Yeah, he does. Right? There always has to be someone. My guy is always constant, Jerry. But this, you know.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Bordering on criminal
I'm way
behavior.
Under. 6.5 seemed. I actually was surprised that it didn't go down once they named him as the starter. It kind of stayed steady.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's going to be really rocky.
They had a gambling scandal, too. You know, they lose on the Gilmore trade to the Cowboys, I hope, at least. And the guy they were going to replace him with had the gambling scandal, and they had to end up cutting him. Isaiah, was Rodgers?
Isaiah Rodgers,
So.
All right, so this was the hardest one in the division for me, and one of the hardest in the conference. Houston. The over-under is 6.5. And I was just trying to figure out if I'm going under with Jacksonville and I think Tennessee's going to be at 7 and we both think Indianapolis stinks. Could Houston crawl their way to 7 wins? Right? D'Amico Ryans is in there.
Yeah,
I liked him on the Niners. There's no new coach this year that I thought, oh, this guy. Like with Peterson last year when he goes from Urban. We talked about it last year on the pod. Urban Meyer to Peterson. We just see it every year. The new coach. Right. It's not just that he's solid as a new coach. He's not the other guy. And
right,
it just
exactly.
Something changes in football and it just shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if it would happen with them because they were 3-13-1 last year. And could they go like 8-9? You know, and because I don't think Sean Payton's going to be the new coach guy this year because I just don't think Denver's good enough.
Oh,
and then you go through all the other teams. I just don't see the new coach this year. So maybe it's him.
But if he gets to 6, that's a good job. They shouldn't fire him. By the way, I'm not sure he did the right thing taking this job. I think he should have waited. He went to a team that went 2-1 and outs, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
They fired the coach after the first season. So, D'Amico, you're better than that. You don't deserve this. But if he went from 3 to 6, where I have them, I think that's a nice leap, even though it is in the AFC South. And I like, you know, I like what they've done. I like Stroud more than most people do. I mean, I think that like the Jets last year, they could have the offensive and defensive rookie of the year this year.
6-11 sound reasonable?
Sure.
Because that's under.
Yeah.
Because going through the schedule, at Baltimore, Indy, at Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, at Atlanta, New Orleans, at Carolina, Tampa, at Cincinnati, Arizona, Jacksonville, Denver, at the Jets, at Tennessee, Cleveland, Tennessee, at Indianapolis. So even if we give them two Indianapolises, let's say they go 2-0 against them, right, and we can give them at Carolina and Arizona, I still got to get like three more to get to 7.
It's a lot.
With a rookie QB, new coach. They didn't really have a lot of talent to begin with.
And their defense wasn't good. They were 30th, and like they added in some spots, but they're not going to be deep. They were 3-6-1 in one-score games. That's the one good thing you could say about them, but or a chance to improve at least. So I have.
So do we see this the same way where it would be Tennessee, Jacksonville, Houston, Indianapolis?
Yeah, and I think I wrote
down
those
odds. What are the odds on that on FanDuel?
I think I wrote it down. 12-1.
12-1.
Titans, Jags, Texans, Colts, 12-1.
Kind of tasty.
But again, this is such a weird, the fact that we agree on this division means there's no way it's going to turn out like
well,
that.
We started out, we disagreed on literally every AFC East team, but now I feel like we're more aligned. Garbage, now I'm feeling better. All right, let's take a break and we'll do the West. The AFC West. This was the year I almost went under on Mahomes. It's 11.5. And I was like, man, Kelsey, and then just a bunch of receivers. Who knows? Last year they were pushing it.
Who did you
remember?
Like,
I came on
receiver?
Last year.
Valdez Scant. Like, who
picked them to make the Super Bowl last year? I was like, you know what? This is a step. You want to do my own accent?
Yeah.
You want to do my imitation of your imitation of me?
Okay.
Mahomes is going to be like Steph Curry.
You got to work on it.
It's
going to
be like Steph Curry, where it's his show and he's the guy.
Should I be insulted? Because I don't sound like that at all. I'm really pissed right now.
Like that is me.
I might leave.
But I just can't. I can't go against Mahomes or Reed.
No.
I just can't. So I'm going over. I think they go at least 12 wins. From a talent standpoint, I had them as a 38.5, which was second highest. Mm. Good offensive line. They have four good guys on defense. The Chris Jones piece, if he just says, fuck it. I swore again.
Yeah.
If he just says, FanDuel it.
Yeah.
And doesn't come back.
Well, that's a weird thing to announce that he's gonna sit out till week 8. He like picked the.
When did we do hold-ins? What happened to this generation?
I don't know.
Imagine if we were growing up and it was like Drew Pearson's having a hold-in. It was like, what?
Right. It's nice. It sounds nicer. But he's picking a specific. It's like a boxer, like Tyson saying, "I'm gonna knock this guy out in round 8. Like I'm gonna sit out until week 8. Like, all right, what happens then? But yeah, that bothers me a little bit. But I think this is one of the ones you don't have to overthink. Like, the Chiefs have gone over. How many years, every year that Mahomes has played, they've gone over their win total. And so as long as it's him, as long as it's Andy Reid and Mahomes has one leg, half a leg, barely walking, they're great.
Crushed the draft last year. All those guys are back. They always do well in the draft.
Yeah.
So even if
always
on paper,
play a first place schedule.
Yeah, on paper, if you're looking going, they seem light here, there's always three guys that pop up.
And their defense is underrated. Everybody wants to talk Mahomes and they should. But, you know, they held the Jags to 17, the Seahawks to 10 last year.
Here's one reason I really like them. They have last team to lose a game that's on FanDuel.
Oh, yeah. They can go.
There's different odds for that.
Mm-hmm.
They got Detroit on Thursday night, week one. That's a win.
That'd be fun if they lost right away. Prop bet that would be.
10 days later at Jacksonville.
Yeah.
We don't like that team that much. Home for Chicago week 3.
Mm-hmm.
We both don't love the Jets. That's week 4 at the Jets. Week 5 at Minnesota, not a huge fan of them. Week 6, Denver. And then week 7, Chargers. And then week 8 at Denver. There's a world where they're 8-0 going into Miami and London week 9.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to London. It's like, Tua has stayed healthy the whole year. Can't believe this jiu-jitsu thing. Can't believe it worked out.
That was jiu-jitsu.
Guy totally knows how to fall. Yeah. Junior jiu-jitsu. Stuntmen for movies are going, I can't believe this guy's falling so perfectly.
He's falling out of his hospital bed. Yeah, I think the only case for the under, other than Mahomes getting hurt, is they're 11-5 going into the last week, and they don't need it against the Chargers. But then they would need it, right? At 11-5? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, they go Cincy and at Chargers.
Yeah.
I don't see it. Let's talk about the Chargers, because they're way more interesting.
Okay.
Their over-under is 9.5, which 9.5 is just the FU number.
Yeah.
because it's basically like not only have to decide the over under, but basically they're going to make the playoffs if it's 10 wins. Plus 300 for the division. And just for the record, the Chiefs are minus 180 for the division. They're plus 350 for the conference and 6-1 to make the Super Bowl, plus 320 for the number one seed. Chargers, 11-1 for the conference, 21-1 for the Super Bowl, and 3-1 for the division. They have dead even odds for the playoffs, basically. Minus 115, yes. Minus 105, no. They're like a sneaky number one seed bet if you like them because they're 12-1. As you know, I'm out.
No.
Listen, the Brandon Staley thing, what is this? We're just supposed to forget? It's like, no, he got Kellen Moore this year. Cool.
Right.
Well, what's Brandon Staley good at? Because every year that team just, we watch them screw up, do the wrong things. Not to mention, as we talk about every year, they don't have home field advantage.
He's going to be good at handing Kellen Moore the keys and saying, here's my office.
right, Kellen. Kellen, when you take over in week seven.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, they play Dallas Monday night, October 16th, week six. How many Chargers fans are going to be at that game?
I know. They never have home
You've been to the Cowboys-Chargers games. Right. What is it, like 80,000 Cowboys fans and 10,000 like Chargers
other
fans?
Other stadiums too, but yeah, especially out here.
First game of the season, it's the Dolphins. The Dolphins surprisingly travel well and have a shitload of fans.
Mm-hmm.
They got the Bears in week eight. They have a shitload of fans, plus a lot of transplants.
Let me tell you something about that Bears game. Mark that down. Nephew Kyle, mark that down as a loss. This team always loses games that they're... that they shouldn't. And yeah, that's going to be the perfect one. Sunday night against the Bears in October. And we're going to win that, Kyle. I'm going to get you that bar in Poughkeepsie. But this Staley guy, he's lousy. He starts players in week 18 when he doesn't have to, and they get injured and then they can't play in that game against Jacksonville. He runs this too high shell defense that no one seems to understand. You know, they were 1-5 as underdogs, 9-2 as favorites. So, you know, they're not really going to surprise you. They're $60 million over the cap in 2024. Their receivers are getting old, even though they drafted those kids from TCU.
Yeah.
They kind of have to do it this year, and I kind of don't think they will. And I think 9.5 is too hefty going on under.
They have to lay the smackdown early because they're Miami at Tennessee at Minnesota and home Vegas first four, and then they have a bye week. So they have to be 3-1 at that point. But I think they could absolutely lose the Miami game, and I think they could lose the at Tennessee game. They could lose any of those.
Their extras are Baltimore, at Tennessee, and Dallas. We like all those, or at least I do.
Yeah, and we forgot to mention this division plays the AFC East and the NFC North. Mm-hmm. So AFC East could be four tough ones for them. I'm just not a believer, and I keep hearing people talk about their explosive, crazy offense and all that stuff. They scored like, what, 320 points last year? I forget what the final number was. But it was like 100 points behind the Chiefs. And some people have written this. It's like, can they make up the 100 points that they're behind the Chiefs? Keenan Allen, the last 2 years we've been talking about, he gets old. Mike Williams gets hurt every single year. Yeah. And I don't think Eckler's an every down back.
They don't.
I don't trust any of those guys to stay healthy.
Yeah, I don't either. Maybe it's Max Duggan, the quarterback at this point. No, I love Herbert. I feel like he's been sent to Canton way too early, right? Like with what he's done.
Yeah,
with
go the win 10 games done. Once.
Yeah.
I'm going under. I think it's one of my favorite of all the unders.
I mean, it's a coin flip. They make the playoffs anyway, right? They lost that week 18 game against the Raiders 2 years ago. Last year, they made it. But, you know, it's always weird towards the end with them. So
yeah,
don't feel bad betting under here.
Denver, I'm going under as well, 8.5.
Mm.
I wanted to get there. I just think Russ is done. I just think it's over. It's like when we have those boxers that we grew up with.
Mm.
And they pass that point, and then there's another friend. It's like, oh, Sugar Ray Leonard's fighting again. We got knocked out the last time. No, but it's Sugar Ray Leonard. He'll be back.
Right.
And I just think you can, as a quarterback, a boxer, a couple other professions in sports, you can pass the point of no return. It seems like that's happened with him.
I pat myself on the back last year at this time. I thought the Russ experiment was going to fail. I know you had a massive crush on him years ago. Hustle and bustle, man. Muscle.
We had a strong fling.
So for you to now, I don't know if this is legitimate talk or sour grapes or what, because the relationship ended the way it did. But he was a mess. But he also, this is kind of stuff that Sean Payton can maybe turn around and get them to 9-8, which is where I have him. Like, he had his own office, Russell Wilson, which is weird, on the facility. Yeah. He had his own quarterbacks coach aside from the team's quarterbacks coach. He's doing high knees on the plane. And like, he was kind of laughable. And I think Sean Payton's like, hey, enough of this crap. And by the way, take a look at what I know you're familiar with him. Jarrett Stidham, they signed for $10 million for 2 years. He could have a shortish hook, and it might be decent enough to put him in there, and they win 9 with this defense, which finished 10th despite allowing, what, 51 to the Rams towards the end of the year? Like, that was nuts. So, good defense, good coach, quarterback who we're not sure of, I think does get them to 9 wins.
I have them 7-10.
All right.
Lombardi mentioned that on my podcast, that Stidham could be looming, that Peyton would have the balls to just be like, I'm out. Russell's
right.
done.
They give him a lot for a backup. Yeah. It makes you think. Could be.
Last team is Vegas, who you went all in on last year. We had a real bad argument about it. It was really rough.
Really,
I just
stupid.
Think you like Vegas
I'm
as
done.
A city.
I know.
You're
I
done
know.
Now?
Yeah. They could be one of the worst. I'm going to go under.
The over is 6.5.
Yeah.
You can go under 4.5 for plus 210. I like the alt lines on FanDuel.
Yeah.
They have some good alt wins and stuff. Under 3.5 is plus 420. They're in the conversation for worst record. I think they're like 12-1, 13-1. If you wanted to get frisky and think maybe McDaniels gets fired halfway through the year. They start out at Denver, at Buffalo, home Pittsburgh, at the Chargers, home Green Bay, home New England.
It doesn't matter. Everybody's better than them. You can name any team.
So they're going to be...
Bishop Sycamore, better. Anybody.
I think by week four... They're just going to be at least a 7.5-point underdog against anybody half decent. They do have some talent. I'll be interested to see what happens with Adams if he gets frustrated. Mm-hmm. Have you seen or read about Aiden O'Connell, the backup QB they took, the rookie?
Yeah. I mean, he was lighting it up sort of in preseason.
Yeah.
He's a weird college player because he was better his junior year than his senior year or his, whatever his last year was. So,
I was wondering if they trade Jimmy G. Around week six to, like, if Ridder just flames
contender.
Out in Atlanta, but Atlanta's still hanging around.
I see. Yeah.
One of those, or if another quarterback gets hurt and they just kind of hand the keys to him. And
another hot seat coach with McDaniels. He was 6-0 with Denver and then 11-28 since then. This team, you're right. I picked them last year. I'm done with them. They lose every game by 3 points. They're disgusting. They were 0-5 in 3-point games.
Disgusting.
And, you know, a lot of these teams, like, well, they were 0-5 and games that decide by 3. Like, they're going to turn it around. No, they don't have to. It's the Raiders. It's Jimmy G. Questionable defense. Stud running back is not going to. Did you see the yards projected for Jacobs? It's only 1,000. It's only 1,000 yards. So someone knows something here.
Well, he had, like, the best year of his life last year. So it's like a Cooper Kupp.
That's a ton difference.
It's a Cooper Kupp type thing, right?
Yeah. They spent 7 of the 9 picks on defense. I don't know. All the guys I like, Renfro went, no is to hurt, but 103 catches to 36 catches. I'm done with them. Waller's gone. Enough.
So division odds on FanDuel. AFC East. You have Buffalo?
Buffalo, yeah.
You have Buffalo plus 120. I'm going to take a flyer on Miami plus 290.
I don't see how that happens when they win 7 games, but maybe it'll be a logjam.
You're just not a judo guy. AFC North.
By the way, I am a judo guy. I took judo in college my first year because I went in
so
a terrible.
So you should know.
Yeah. Nephew Kyle, you know how it is upstate with the and Mikey Meatballs is here when it snows and it's crazy. I took judo and they teach you how to fall. You tuck your chin and you put your elbow to your side and you bang the ground. And it actually worked for me, but I didn't have like a 300-pound man throwing me to the ground. Maybe a couple times. But other than that, no, it really, but. When you know it's coming, it's fine, but you don't know what's coming. But God, more with the judo.
AFC North, I have Pittsburgh plus 470. And you had, who'd you have?
The Browns.
You had the Browns plus 400. So we both like the underdogs in that one. AFC South, we both like Tennessee plus 310. A lot of high lines for this.
Yep.
And then AFC West, Chiefs.
Took a little break there.
Chiefs 180. Minus 180. And we're also FanDuel, and I don't know what the official boost is, but hopefully... We'll have it by Thursday or the weekend. But we're going to do Kansas City, San Francisco, Philly, all to make the playoffs. And that was minus 118.
I have to root for Philly to make the playoffs?
Yeah, unfortunately do. But that's going to happen.
All right. Yeah.
They're going to boost that to something with a plus sign in it. So stay tuned. That's going to be on FanDuel. Our pictures are going to be on there. It's going to be a whole
thing.
Very special, special thing. So that's it.
Can I use the picture of me vomiting on Joe House? Or did they already pick a picture?
I want you to vomit on Joe House after he stole one of my NFC picks, which we'll talk about on the NFC side.
All right.
All right. We're going to take a break and do Parent Corner. All right. It's been a while. There's been a lot of good Parent Corners for both of us over the last, really like 7 months since we were doing this last season.
Kids are going to college.
I know. We have kids going to college. We have pubescent kids. We have, in your case, little kids that are in like the funniest little boy stage.
Yeah.
Harrison's 9 years old. I'm guessing he's leading parent corner for you.
I think he is going to. And because the Little League World Series is so prevalent on my mind, congratulations to the El Segundo. That's a neighboring town, you understand. I watched them win against Texas.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, very, very, very cool when everybody in the bar knows the kids' names and everything. By the way, I heard you go off on people who bet the Little League World Series.
I did. I thought that's un-American.
Un-American? What's more American than betting baseball? I don't ask their age.
I don't bet on 12-year-olds. I like just betting baseball. Rules.
I'm sorry. I'm not a bouncer. I'm not checking IDs for how old these kids are. And by the way, you bet 3-year-old horses. That's disgusting. To me, that's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. People bet on babies when they're going to come out, how big they're going to be. Like they're not even, they're a fetus. You're betting on baby pools. That's terrible. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Anyway, your parent corner. Your parent corner.
I don't have one. I just want to yell at you. This goes back a few months. My littlest Harrison loves playing baseball, plays 11 months a year. He's a catcher. He's a gritty catcher. He gets down there in the dirt and everything. And he does not like umpires. And so when he gets up, they're winning like 13-6, and he takes a called strike 3 to end the inning. And now the new inning starts. It's the last inning. They're still up like 7 runs. The very first pitch, he's the catcher. He gets out of the way. It hits the umpire almost in the throat, but more in the shoulder. And the umpire yells that F word that FanDuel doesn't allow. He's like, "Fuck!" And everybody is silent. And now like a minute later, when the umpire recovers, he's apologizing to the parents. And I'm like, that little son of a bitch, that's my kid that did that. He got out of the way on purpose because he got rung up 10 minutes before, which was a strike 3, by the way.
So you knew officially this was your child's.
So I got to wait like 15 minutes before the game's over. And I get him in the car. I'm like, all right, I know what you did there. He's like, that was not a strike. You know that wasn't a strike. I was like, I don't care. I don't care if it was in the dirt and rolled to you and he called it strike 3. You can't let umpires get hit with like fastballs, like 55 mile an hour fastballs in the chest. He's like, well, he did. I was like, who the hell even taught you that? Like, this is something I taught him. He's like, no, he saw it on YouTube.
He saw it on YouTube.
Yeah. So I had to ban him. Like, this matters, but I banned him from YouTube for like a week. Yeah. And now he's back watching terrible crap. What an awful little kid.
I hope.
Right?
I hope the umpire doesn't hear.
You're right. Well, it's a few months removed. Suit. So
yeah, it's a statute of limitations.
Yeah, no, he's still hospitalized. I don't think he's listening. Yeah.
So this really is your son. I mean, you've had 3 cracks at the apple here, and this is the one that is the most you.
This is it. I was like, you're 10. Just get to the Little League World Series so I could bet against you. Come on. That's all I'm rooting for at this point.
10 was my favorite Ben age of all the all the ages. Yeah. 10 was great.
Yeah.
10's the best.
I don't know.
They're not dumb anymore. You can actually hang out with them. You can do things with them. They're starting to develop personalities of sense of humor.
I don't see that.
My parent corner is not going to be about Ben. My daughter, who dated a guy for most of senior year and then they decided because she was going to college across the country and he's staying here and they were, you know, there's no way this is going to work. Long distance relationships don't work. So they decide they're going to break up and they set a date and it's like July 5th, we're breaking up.
Wait, what? That's my birthday, by the way. Well, that's good.
So my wife and I are like, we're just watching. It's like, wow, this is not going to happen. This is definitely not going to work out. So all the date comes and it's like, all right, this is it. This is the week, but they're still dating. And we're like, what happened to the date? Well, he's going to New York for a month and that's when we're going to break up on after July 4th. So we pass that date. We get to July. They break up. He goes off.
Yep.
Seems like it's done. She's like, it's really sad for a couple of days and then, kind of fades off and then starts thinking ahead to college. He comes back. They start dating again. And they basically date right until like the day before she leaves for school. And I'm not saying this to shit on what they did, but this was the moment that I really thought banged home being a parent. She, we're talking in the car and I can't resist. As you know, I'm prone to give my opinion. Not like our cousin Jimmy, but occasionally I'll give my opinion on things.
Take your word for it.
And I was just like, I think this is a mistake. Like you gotta break up with him so that when you go to college, you're not sad the first couple weeks because now you're breaking up with them in college. And like, you just, you know, you're going to break up. Just get it over with.
Good advice. I'm sure she wasn't jazzed to
so
hear
So we
it.
Go back and forth and she's getting madder. And then she goes, Dad, I'm 18. Just let me make my mistakes.
Yeah.
Right. And I had no comeback. What do you do as a comeback to let me make my mistakes?
I don't know.
No, I can't let you make your mistakes. Like, I didn't. She trumped me for the first time. I had no comeback. I'm like, you know what? You're right. You're 18. You'll make me your mistakes.
Yeah.
So guess what? She went to college and then was sad for a couple of days.
That's great.
Yeah, but
I mean, not great, but did she see that on YouTube somewhere?
I mean, that really seems like Googled that
80s movie.
It was the first time I never had a comeback for her. I always felt like I was smarter than her, but she really outwitted me on that.
Wow.
One.
And could she use that again? I mean, now she knows that works for you.
Well, now I just did a parent corner about it. So maybe she knows I'm on.
Well, you have to come
Kyle,
up with
did
an
you
answer.
Ever use that on your dad?
What? Make my own mistakes?
Let me make my own mistakes, Dad.
No, my mistakes were too big to be throwing off. But I agree. I broke up with my girlfriend when I was going to community college in town. So this definitely needed that.
Yeah.
I was like, let me make my mistakes. Like, all right, well, I'll leave you in jail overnight. Exactly. That's fine.
He's a really nice kid. We totally understood it, but you know, 3,000 miles, probably not going to happen.
Wow. Well, you need a comeback for let me make my mistakes for the next time she says
if any of the listeners could come up with a good comeback for that.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear it.
Good, good.
Anyway, that's Parent Corner. All right. That was the end of part one. We are going to do part two on Sunday, and then we're going to do Guest Alliance, and that's going to be the big Sunday podcast. We're taping part two NFC right now, but you won't hear it until Sunday, and then Guest Alliance. We're going to wait to Sunday to do Guest Alliance, just in case.
It's good. That's not
might
too
be
confusing.
A trade. Yeah. Jonathan Taylor might be back all of a sudden. We don't know. We're going to wait as close as possible. Right. So
maybe the kids are back together. Who knows?
Right. Yeah. Don't rule that out.
We're going to make our, let just fans, let us make our mistakes the next couple of days and we'll see you Sunday.
Let me make my mistakes with the over-unders. You can watch these on FanDuel TV. They're going to be on Monday morning and Tuesday morning in the AFC and the NFC. So check that out. Thanks to Kyle Crane for producing. We will see you on Sunday. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. In Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia, you can call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In Arizona, call 1-888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. In Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.